year to April the following year, I was just not myself. And I know that because it took me until April of the following year to put away the Christmas tree. That's how bad it was. It was a challenging time. I was physically in pain. I felt helpless. I was confused. I was sad. I couldn't do much for the family. I was dependent on others. The last 2 months have been very challenging for me health-wise. I've struggled with a lot of joint pain, unexplained chest pain, gone through some investigations with the doctors. I've been put on medication, and I felt sad, useless around the house, and helpless. And the investigations are still ongoing. This reminded me of 2014. The only difference is that back then, I knew how I had ended up in that situation. And this time around, it's been a bit more of a mystery. So you or someone that you know has probably faced some major health challenges. I know for a fact, and we know, that some people within our congregation have struggled with major health challenges and still are struggling with health challenges. And of course, that is bound to bring all sorts of emotions, mixed emotions, frustration, helplessness, confusion, while at the same time feeling grateful that they're able to even come to church or wake up in the morning. So it's mixed emotions. The big question I have asked myself is, how long is this going to go on for? What is the purpose of this experience, if there is one, and what will I learn from it? What's on the other side of this challenge? Like any other concerns we have, the Word of God guides us through how to navigate these things, that these challenges that don't make sense to us. So today I just want to look at the story of one woman in the book of Luke, chapter 13, from verse 10 to 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word, and I just pray, Lord Jesus, as I speak, Father, that you would work in the hearts of the people. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, that may we walk out that door different from how we walked in. And I pray, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit to just minister to each one of us individually. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to talk about this woman and life as she knew it. Life as she knew it. So before delving deeper into the scripture, I want to look closer at this woman and who she was. You see, there's lots that's unknown about her before she was crippled by the spirit. And I sat there and I asked myself, was she a top model? Was she a mother? Was she popular? Was she an athlete? What was life like for her before she was crippled? So that's just the picture that I'd like us to have in our minds as we walk through this message. Crippled by a spirit. We hear that she was crippled, meaning she had a disability. You see, the crippling effects of a disability are varied. Physical impact. I just imagine that she most likely needed assistance with the basics, such as dressing or walking, certain movements, getting uphill, activities of daily living. I'm just imagining that because with what I've been going through, that's obviously nothing compared to that. But even that has been enough to make life difficult, such that even in the morning, making the bed is a challenge. Making the bed is always a challenge. But now it's even more of a challenge. Basic movements like, you know, getting dressed, it's very difficult. Cleaning the house, very difficult. Things that we take for granted. I also imagine that there would have been an emotional and psychological impact. I'm guessing she would have had certain feelings about her condition and that how she saw herself now that she had this disability. Was she thinking, this is so unfair? Was she thinking, God must not love me? Is he punishing me? I'm just imagining, just like any other disability, that there would be emotional and psychological impact. And then there will be the relationship that she had with her community. I imagine what others saw when they looked at this woman. Did they think, oh, she's a bit odd? You know, she's weird. She's disabled. She's weak. I just wonder what the people around her would have said. You see, this woman was not able to function in a way that she could enjoy a good quality of life because of the limitations of her condition. I wonder for you, what is crippling? What is crippling you? Is it physical? Is it emotional? I think it's great that Jesus, wherever he is, he always intervenes. And he did exactly that with this woman. You see, it reads in verse 12 to 13, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and praised God. He saw, he called, he spoke. Jesus saw this woman. He didn't just look at her. He saw her. He saw her need to stand tall. He saw her need to walk free. He saw her need to run. He saw her need to jump and her need to excel. Whatever version of disability, heartbreak, pain, or suffering you have had to endure or are still enduring, Jesus sees you among the crowd. That's very, very important. That in that moment, he saw this woman. But that could have easily been anyone else. If you look through the Bible, Jesus was always encountering someone. So it could just as easily been somebody else. But in this instance, we're just talking about this woman. Because the reality is Jesus does not like to see people suffer. He never has. He never will. His love and compassion rings true in every encounter you'll ever have with him. He's all about love and compassion, and he shows it. As soon as he sees, he calls and he speaks a word. I love how she responded. It says that she praised. She praised. We hear that this woman prayed. She acknowledged what God had done in her life. You see, a posture of humility means praising God for the miracles in our lives, big and small. A posture of humility means being in the house of God even with your infirmity, even with your challenges. And I'm very sure that each one of us here has got a challenge, and yet we are here. That is a posture of humility. This woman's acknowledgement of God did not start the day she was healed. You see, we hear that she praised, but I don't think that that started that day, because she was already in the presence of the healer even before he spotted her. Even before he called her forward, she knew to be in his presence. That's the beginning. It says, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching, and a woman was there. She was already there. So to me, that says that this woman already had that within her. So this was yet another way of expressing what she had always done, because she understood the power of acknowledging God for what he has done. You know, interesting that this woman was praising, but other people were not praising, because some people are party poopers. And we find one party pooper here. It says, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days. They were annoyed that Jesus got healed this woman on this particular day. So while this woman was praising God for his mercy, the synagogue leader was complaining, protesting, and I'm sure he had supporters. You see, they wanted to put boundaries, rules, structure, limitations around the healing of God, around the grace, around the mercy of God, because they had no understanding of what Jesus was all about. There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. You see, they were not just showing annoyance or anger at those in need. They were not just showing it to the people who were coming for the healing, but really, they were pointing the finger at Jesus, seeing him as the transgressor, because who else was doing the healing? So it's really that, you know, when you're talking, I find my kids do this sometimes. In fact, yesterday one of them did that. You'd be fixing their hair, and then it's painful, and then the sister will ask a question to the one whose hair is being done. So because it's painful and they're angry, they'll yell at the sister for asking them the question. On the surface, it looks like they're yelling at the sister, but really, it's me. It's an indirect way. You get what I'm talking about? That's what these people were doing. They're saying there are 6 days, so come and be healed on those days. They were talking to the people who were seeking the healing, but really, they were sending an indirect message to Jesus. They felt protective of the Sabbath and felt the need to protect the old traditions and the laws. You see, they had no posture of humility, just pride and religion. Pride and religion. The interesting thing is that Jesus goes on to expose their hypocrisy. He felt that they had double standards. So I want to talk about remembering your untied ox. You hypocrites, he says, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be set free? You see, it's really important that we watch the voices in our lives that would want to tell us that it's not God's will to heal, that it's not God's will to restore, it's not God's will to renew because of some man-made conditions. There are many man-made conditions out there that would want to stop the healing and the work that God wants to do. So this morning, I'm nearly done. And the reason I'm keeping it short is because I really want to focus on praying this morning. I really want to pray. And also, I've got anointing oil there. And I asked someone to pray for the oil beforehand. And when they were praying, they said something quite powerful. They said, "May this oil transform." And I like that word, transformation. So the step of faith that we're going to take this morning is that we're going to believe for a transformation of your situation, whatever your disability. So I just want to finish off with this. Isaiah 58 says, "Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.'" That is the word of the Lord to us. I really believe that this message is about a shift in our mindset. Because what we've got here is two groups of people. We've got the woman who needs the healing, and Jesus who's willing to heal her on the Sabbath. And then you've got the religious leaders who have a problem with the fact that healing has occurred on the Sabbath because they're holding on to the old traditions. And I think that is about a mindset. And as I pray, there are three areas that I really want to pray into this morning. And if you really feel strongly led to, please come up so we can pray around this. The first thing is, I really believe we want to break a spirit of religion and understand freedom in the Lord's day. Spirit of religion. Sometimes we were raised in churches or in systems and families where we think a certain way and don't have the freedom and understanding of the grace of God. And so when things come up that we're not used to, we challenge that and we can't break free. And sometimes you wonder, why am I not set free? Why am I still struggling? Why year after year am I still in the same space? And sometimes it's because there is a spirit of religion. If you're not sure, just ask God and he will speak to you about that. Once again, if you need prayer around that, that's the first thing. The second thing that I would like to pray for is how to attract those who have chronic conditions and not fear the encounters. Now, I'm talking about us as the people of God who want to reach out. Most times, I know that, you know, when I use the word chronic conditions, I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. There are people in our world who've got chronic conditions. They've been in this space for so long, they feel like they can never break free of certain things. And most times, we know those people, and we turn the other way. We don't want to encounter them. But I truly believe that if we're going to fill these churches, if we're going to open up our doors, then we have to be ready to welcome people with chronic conditions and not fear them, and instead pray that God would give us the boldness that we need to be able to know and have the wisdom to know how to have conversations with such people. Because there's a work that God wants to do, and we're it. Then lastly, I would like to pray to break a spirit of self-doubt. A spirit of self-doubt. And release the anointing to break bondages. If you're somebody who feels like you need to go from one church to the other, or from one conference to the other, to get a breakthrough, or to be able to step up another level, I don't know how you put it in your head, then we need to pray against that spirit of self-doubt. Because every single one of us in this space, in this room, have got the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. We have got the authority to call those things that are not as though they are. We have the authority to lay hands, or maybe because of COVID, not lay hands, but we've got the authority to pray for people and believe for healing. You don't need to go to a pastor for that. You don't need to go to another Christian. You've been given authority. So what we want is for people to be able to, if you hear that somebody is sick, you say, let me pray for you. If you hear that somebody is bound and say, let me pray for you, knowing that you've got the authority, because you are, if I use the word pastor, you are the pastor in your own circle of influence. So that's the mindset we need to have. So those are the three areas. Spirit of religion, attract people with chronic conditions, break a spirit of self-doubt, and release that anointing to be able to break bondages. So I'll just get us to just stand up, please.